Good morning, church. Today we're looking at Ephesians chapter 3, and we're focusing on Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church. And as you'll see, Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church is also a prayer for us. Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church is also a prayer for us. And one of the interesting things I see this is, as we look at Paul's prayer, as we read the prayer, you'll see the passion, the enthusiasm, the urgency that Paul has when he's talking to the church. I can see him being very excited and just, you know, talking wildly and with his you know, wide-eyed and hands moving all around, because he's trying to relay the reality of Christ and the reality of his Damascus Road conversion, the forgiveness he had from going from a persecutor of the church to a stalwart of the church, the grace he received, the firsthand miraculous signs and wonders that he was a part of, the strength he received, that even though he was writing from a prison cell, he wrote with such joy and compassion and boldness. Paul wanted to convey that to the church. So let's look at this prayer from Paul and see if you can sense the passion and the urgency in how he's speaking. Chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and high and long and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power and his work in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Can you sense that urgency, that passion, that enthusiasm in Paul's prayer for the Ephesians? Well, let's look at, there's four things that Paul was asking, interceding God to give the Ephesian church, and it applies to us today. The first thing he prayed was, it was a prayer for the strengthening and regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in our inner being. Verse 16 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. A couple of things strike me about this. First of all, he was writing from a prison cell. When he was writing this letter, it was with scars on his back from being flogged and beaten numerous times for the gospel. It was with the memory of shipwrecks, being transported as a prisoner, yet with unwavering joy, one unwavering confidence. And he was writing to a church that was also enduring persecution, following Christ in the capital of worship of Artemis, and praying for them to be strengthened, to endure, to persevere, to be victorious. Another thing that strikes me here is that it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our inner being. As Pentecostals, we often think of the work of the Holy Spirit in the signs and wonders, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in the gifts of the Spirit, like healing and words of prophecy and words of knowledge and, you know, praying in tongues and all these things that are a bit more demonstrative and out there. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. The work of the Holy Spirit in our inner being is the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about there. The power of the Holy Spirit to indwell, to change, to cleanse, to take us from being dead in sin to alive in Christ. From transforming us from under the curse of sin and death to life in Christ. That's what the work that he was talking about here. From taking us from a sinful, harmful practices to those things that please God, that are blessed God, that are good for our spiritual health, and bless those around us. And also the strength he was praying for was to be able to walk in obedience, to perform the duties that God has called us to do. And then back to this thing about strength to bear trials, to stand unwavering in the face of troubles and persecution in a society that is increasingly hostile to the gospel. Paul's first prayer, first part of his prayer, was a prayer for strengthening and the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit. Because we cannot live a life worthy of Christ without the Holy Spirit in our life, without Him doing that regenerative work. Another thing on this is that God is more concerned about the work He's doing in you than the work He's doing through you. God cares about our hearts. God wants to regenerate our heart. God wants to change us and change us into His likeness. Which leads to the second thing that Paul prayed for in verse 17. Why do you have the power of the Holy Spirit in working in our inner being? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That he may intimately and continually possess and fill us. Not only our heads with doctrine, which doctrine is important, but also our affections toward Christ. Our affections, to change our affections with His Spirit. Because one of the things of the Holy Spirit, the office of the Holy Spirit, we talk about that, is to implant and work out in us the likeness of Christ. If you look at John 14, and I recommend this week, I'm going to give you two pieces of homework. First piece of homework, read John chapters 14, 15, and 16. In there, you'll see this incredible relationship between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and believers, just like you and me. Believers like us, and how Jesus says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and the Spirit is in me, and I am in the Spirit, and I am in you, and you are in me, and what I've heard from the Father, I pass on to you. It's an incredible relationship. Read it, John 14, 15, and 16. And in that, you just see this indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that Christ may dwell in our hearts. That, as 14, 20 says, that you will... I will not leave you as orphaned. I will come to you, and you shall know that you are in me, and I am in you. Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church is that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. Christ in our hearts, continually abiding in us, communing with us, guiding our thoughts, guiding our desires, guiding our priorities, our attitude toward others, that we may be connected with Him, comforted by Him, led by Him, and as we do that, reflecting Him to the world around us. A prayer for intimate fellowship with Christ. The third thing that Paul is praying for the Ephesian church was the power to grasp and know Christ's love, a supernatural revelation of God's love. Listen to verse 18. May have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Isn't it interesting that he prays two things, that you will grasp and know. Grasp, you will be able to comprehend this incredible love that is so high and wide and deep, it's just unfathomable how big and amazing God's love is, to understand it with our head, but also more than that, just not having the head knowledge, but to know a love that surpasses knowledge, to know the unknowable, to have that deep experience, that revelation, the reality that there's something beyond human comprehension in this love of Christ. I like how the Pulpit Commentary describes it. It says, the love here is evidently the love of Christ to us, and this may be specified as a special matter of prayer. Knowledge of Christ's love in the sense of an inward personal experience of it, its freeness, its tenderness, its depth, its patience, is the great dynamic of the gospel. This love is transmuted into a spiritual force. Listen to this. As the breeze fills the sails and bears forward the ship, so the love of Christ fills the soul and moves it in the direction of God's will. But in its fullness, it passes knowledge. It's infinite, not to be grasped by mortal man, and therefore always presenting new fields to be explored, new depths to be fathomed. What a beautiful word picture. To recognize and fathom the grace of God, and that as an absolutely perfect, holy, powerful, infinite God, and the love that He had for an imperfect, sinful, falling short, finite, so far from holy people. And that He, in His love, bridged that gap through His own sacrifice, through His own effort, that we might be united with Him. What an incredible love. And to know, He prays that we will know this depth of love that showers grace upon grace upon grace upon grace to us. That's Paul's prayer, to know, that we might know the unknowable, unfathomable love of God. The fourth thing he asks for, he prays a prayer for the full measure of God's spiritual blessings. What does this look like? Well, it's interesting because, you know, as we are human vessels, there is only so much capacity we have. But what he's talking about here is a life journey filled with all the fullness that God has given us, that all the fullness that He has revealed to us, the spiritual blessings of Christ dwelling and communing with us and in us, His incomprehensible love known and understood by us and experienced by us, living every day filled to the measure with the fullness of God, with a sense of the love and the grace of God. Think about it, church. Filled to the measure of the fullness of a righteousness, not by our own works, but the work that Christ did for us. Filled to the measure of the fullness of a forgiveness that is absolute and decreed from the throne of God when Jesus Himself said, "It is finished." It is wiped clean. The fullness of that forgiveness. Our souls, the fullness of our souls being fed the bread of life, that we will hunger no more, and living water that never runs dry, that we will spiritually thirst no more. Filled to the measure of our peace that surpasses all understanding, regardless of circumstances and political powers. The regenerative work of the Holy Spirit that replaces the acts of the sinful nature with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and faith and self-control. Imagine, church, being filled to the measure of and walking in all that God has for us as we enable the Holy Spirit to work in us. Can you see why Paul was so passionate about his prayer for the Ephesians? Can you see how this prayer is just as real for us in 2022 than it was in the early church? So this week, I'm going to give you a second piece of homework. This week, pray this prayer for you, for your family, for the Cornerstone Church community, that we may be strengthened with the Holy Spirit's power in our inner being, that Christ may dwell in our hearts, that we may have the power to grasp and know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Imagine Christ in us, dwelling in us, revealing in us His love and His power and His fullness that He has for us. So be blessed, church. I encourage you to do that, and we'll break for communion now.